Morning, everyone. Welcome to Glen Arbor Community Church. Glad you could be here today. We are starting a new series about strength and courage, and we're going to look at that together. But first, we're going to worship the Lord together. Why don't we stand just for a minute, and you can pray with me. Lord, thank you that you came for us, that you did not neglect our greatest need. And thank you that when they lowered the man through the roof who couldn't walk, you looked at him in his faith and said, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Thank you for forgiveness, that it's possible with you. Pray that you bless us today. Amen.
All right. I am not Pastor Dean. You can probably guess that right away. But I will do announcements for you. So one of the things today is Breaking of Bread Sunday. So if those of you who, all of us, which is all of us, have Breaking of Bread families that we meet with, so you want to see either Dean or myself or Mike for that, and they meet at various times at those locations of those people's houses. And particularly today, think about now something that you want to encourage someone else with and share that at Breaking of Bread. So I encourage you to do that today. Think about, what can I encourage someone with and or a group with, and how the Lord has touched my life, and share that today. So try to do that. And we have a new, as you know, we have a new move in ministry. And if you're interested in helping, that's where we go from house to house, or new move, not just house to house, but the houses for people who have just moved in. And we give them a little gift, and we also welcome them to the community and invite them to church. And it's really, really easy. Everyone loves getting gifts. They love getting something, and they're very appreciative of that. So that's what we're getting our name out in the community because of that. This is for Awana, and on September 7th at 7 p.m., good thing it's not 7 a.m., is there's Awana kickoff and leaders meeting. And if it's not only if you're interested in being an Awana leader or helping with Awana in some way, then make sure that you talk to Dave or Laura Talcott about that, but also come to that meeting. And that is here, I assume. Is that right? Oh, so for everybody. So that's the kickoff then. Okay. All right. And then, our leaders meeting is on, I brought up the wrong glasses, so I'm trying to read this. Well, it's like, okay, August 31st at 7 p.m. is the actual leaders meeting. I apologize. So after that, September 7th will be the actual kickoff of Awana. With that, also, I've tried this. So one of the things that we set up with a company called PushPay. And one of the great advantages of joining this is that they had a promotion, and we got a Weber grill out of it. So it's in the office, and we're not sure what to do with it. But we have this Weber grill that we got in a box. And Dean says we should sell it on eBay, or we should do this. And so if you are interested in what we should do with the Weber grill, you can talk to Dean. And we even said, so can we get something else? Or something else you have? I said, no, you're getting a Weber grill whether you want it or not. So, but I tried it yesterday. I actually went to our webpage, and there's a little button that says give, and it walks you right through, and I set up how to tithe from our checking account directly, automatically, and so I don't have to think about it anymore. And so that's something that you can set up. Also, it's not just for tithing, but if you want to give to the video ministry or the building or anything else, or if you want to point other people to that, you can do that. So with that, that's the end of our announcements. We're going to have the ushers come forward, and this is a part of our service where we give to the body of Christ and give to God's work so that the ministry can continue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. We are starting a new series, a 3-week series on courage and strength. And I'm going to spend a little more time than I normally do introducing this this topic. So I was thinking about courage. You know, we know courage when we see it. Actually, most of the popular movies have aspects of courage in them. Even all the Marvel movies, there's a courageous superhero, right, who goes in and tackles an insurmountable problem when he probably should have died, or she. And but we find that inspiring, courage. But what is courage? How do you describe it? We know it when we see it, but if you had to describe it to someone, what is it? And so part of our hope is that we can look at that and that God would help us over the next 3 weeks to become more courageous in the way he has enables us and gifted us to do. So I want to look at courage. I looked up an actual definition. I looked this up online. And so sometimes people think of courage as someone who's fearless. You'll see this in war movies a lot. You know, the guy goes charging in to this battle carrying his rifle when he really should have just run away. He really should have done that, you know, but he didn't. And people find that inspiring. But courage is not the absence of fear. It's the ability to do something or to move forward in spite of fears, doubts, and concerns. The ability to do something, to not be paralyzed, but to move forward when it's a good and right thing to do. That's what courage is. Another definition is strength in the face of pain or grief. So if you think about something you might say about somebody we know or someone you know, I think of several people who have very severe illnesses. They fought their illness with great courage. They faced it with courage. So we're talking about courage and strength. What is strength? I looked this up. Look at this. The quality or state of being strong. That's what strength is. That's what it said. And in particular, a good or beneficial quality or attribute. So we know strength is a good thing. So my topic for today is courage in uncertain times. How do you have courage in uncertain times? So I've been reading this book that talks about how you can overanalyze and really ruminate on things. And sometimes I can do that. I can get wrapped up in my own thoughts. And it actually happened to me this week. And I feel like, maybe you don't, I feel like these are uncertain times in our country, in our state, in where we live. And I see things that I thought were so firm just be washed away so quickly. And I'm just going to give you an example. I get the Chicago Tribune at my house. I didn't ask for it. I tell them I don't want it. I don't have time to read it, but they send it to me anyway because newspaper subscriptions are declining. And I said, I don't want to pay for it. They say, that's okay. We'll send it to you anyway. So this is the Wednesday paper. I sat down to read the paper, had a few minutes. It was quiet in the house. I'm going to relax and read the paper and see what's happening in my state and city. This is what I saw. On Monday this week, there were 19 people shot in the city of Chicago. 9 of them died. It was the deadliest day in the city in 13 years. And I don't know if you know this, but people are looking at Chicago all over the country because the number of people being shot and killed is at a record high. And they're going, what's happening in Chicago? And I read that and I go, well, that is disturbing.
And I find it even more disturbing that the reasons people are coming up with. Why is that happening? Because I think people come up with the wrong reasons, oversimplified reasons to explain this. So I read that. The next article, this is the front page of the Chicago Tribune. This is Rod Blagojevich's family. He had another trial. Remember, Rod Blagojevich was a former governor of our state, and he was found guilty and prosecuted for abusing his power, and he's in prison in Colorado right now and serving his time. Remember when Barack Obama became president, he vacated his Senate seat, and Rod Blagojevich was accused of trying to sell it, and trying to profit from that. And these are his daughters who have lost their father. And it tells this story. This is still page one of me trying to relax in uncertain times. And I read the article on page two. The daughter, to the judge, they asked, can you shorten his sentence? He's been a model prisoner. Can you shorten his sentence? The judge says no. He has to serve his full sentence. The daughter says, he stole my childhood. He stole my childhood. You know who she's talking about? The judge. The judge. Not my dad made a mistake. Not my dad broke the law. The system of authority. I'm a victim of this system. Happens all the time. Bothers me. What are we going to do when we keep blaming the wrong people? We're blaming the judge. This is page one. Page one. Page two. Page three. Page three. This is my relaxing time in the morning. It's a little windy up here. So this article here. You know, the Chicago Public School System, CPS, wants to start school in a couple weeks. You know what? They don't have enough money. Last year, they borrowed $480 million to pay their expenses. And this year, no one wants to lend them any more money, and they're saying we have to cut expenses. And some people don't want their salaries cut. We have to cut. School is a couple weeks away. These are uncertain times. What's going to happen in our city, in our state, in our country? The only time I laughed in reading the paper was there's a guy, I think Ron Grossman. Of course, there's all the political stuff, which is incredibly sad. I feel like we have no good options to choose from. And Ron Grossman wrote an article, and he said, think of the election like this. Someone goes into the polling booth with a Hillary pin and the other has a Donald pin, and they look at each other and frown, and they come out and one of them looks at the other and says, well, don't think I enjoyed voting for my dum-dum. I just did that to keep your dum-dum from taking over our country. And the other person said, well, I did the same thing. I voted for my dum-dum so your dum-dum wouldn't take over. That is how it feels. What's going to happen? I can think about these things and I go, wow, if I look at the circumstances, are there going to be, these are basic things. Are they going to be able to start school? What about the violence in our city? What are they going to do about that? What's the solution? People are blaming the authorities and the police for the problems and not for the people who misbehaved and broke the law and killed other people. No one is, what are we going to do? Uncertain times. And it can be overwhelming, especially when everyone else has the wrong answers but me, and they don't agree with me on what the correct solution is. And I tell them, and I get accused of many things, being opinionated, being old school, being an old guy with gray hair who thinks the wrong way, is not enlightened. So to me, boy, these times are uncertain. What's going to happen? And I look in the Bible. I look in the Bible, and there are stories of people who faced very uncertain times. I would say much more uncertain than ours. I look at Moses. Moses, all of his countrymen were enslaved. Not just a few people, but the whole country was enslaved. Those were uncertain times. And Moses was courageous. He didn't start being courageous, but he ended up being courageous. Joshua was courageous. Elijah faced great opposition. You read his life and you go, what did he do to believe that God was different? And this is the path we're going to go on for the next 3 weeks of what does it mean to be courageous? What does it mean to have courage? And how does it work? How do you have that? You just can't tell yourself, today, I'm going to be more courageous. It doesn't seem to work that way. So why don't we pray and ask God to bless our time. God, thank you that you have inspired men and women to have courage and to trust you. Show us how that works. Show us how to do that for ourselves, how to trust you above these circumstances. In your Son's name, amen. So, probably the most commonly quoted verse about courage in the Bible, strength and courage, is actually a place where God told the specific leaders to be strong and courageous, and that's in the book of Joshua. He actually started this, the book of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy 31. He had promised to bring the Israelites out of Egypt and to free them and to give them a new start, to give them the promised land. And it ended up being that Moses wasn't the guy because his generation rebelled against God and the whole generation had to die off. And he told Joshua that he was going to fulfill his promise. Actually, he did it in Deuteronomy, but this is what he said in Joshua 1:6. He says, be strong and courageous because you will lead the people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. So he tells Joshua this. Be strong and courageous. This is a couple verses later in verse 9. Have I not commanded you? He said it in Deuteronomy, told Moses this, told Joshua this. He repeats this to Joshua. Now he says it again. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Many people look at this verse and they claim this verse, these verses for their lives. They're inspiring. With God's help, I can be strong and courageous. If we're going to interpret the Bible correctly, can we claim this promise for ourselves? Who is this promise made to? It was made to Joshua. In a specific situation, it was made to Joshua about taking the Israelites out of Egypt and giving them a new start, that God was going to be with them. So the way I understand biblical interpretation, we can't really claim this. This promise wasn't made to us. It was made to Joshua. But we can look at the principles here and see if they apply to us. What did happen here? God promised something. He promised something. You will lead the people. Joshua will lead the people to the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. When God has a promise, you can claim that promise. When God's deeds are always connected with His words. There's no difference between God's words and His deeds. What He says comes true all the time. It was later here, and he's saying, now I'm going to do this. What else can we claim for ourselves? In verse 9, be strong and courageous. Why should you be strong and courageous? Why? Because Joshua was tall and younger than Moses. He probably didn't have gray hair yet. I'm assuming he's tall because he's strong, because he's king, because he's in charge. Why should he be strong and courageous? Why? Because the Lord your God is with you. If God is with you, you can be strong. Not because of Him, but because of God, because of who God is. He could be strong and courageous. So we can take those two things and apply them to our own lives. Okay, that's the Old Testament. We're not sure if we can. That's the most commonly quoted verse about courage and strength that I see in the Bible. If you pull up any article on strength and courage online, that'll pop up. But we live in uncertain times. It's an uncertain future. What's going to happen? Even in our state, how are you going to open the schools? What's going to happen? I've met a few people in politics in our state, and I'm actually thankful for the people who are working on real solutions. And I get discouraged on how they seem to be stonewalled sometimes by people who just want power. It's concerning. See, what's going to happen? If you're going to be courageous, if we focus on the circumstance of the moment too much, we can be consumed by that. What helps someone to move above that? We need a different belief that motivates you above your circumstance. To be courageous, you need to be certain about something. You need to be certain about something. If you're going to have courage, if you're going to be strong, you need to be confident of something, and not just any something, but the right thing. I'm very confident that I like cheddar cheese. I really like cheddar cheese. I love cheddar cheese. Well, I like cheddar cheese. I don't love it. Extra sharp cheddar cheese. Oh, I love it. Is that going to help me be strong and courageous? Probably not. Probably not. But we need to be confident about something beyond, above, bigger than the circumstance we're in. That is what helps people to be courageous. So I want to move into the New Testament and look at some verses and that talk about strength and courage and what a Christian's life should be like. So we're going to jump into the book of 1 Corinthians. I've got a few verses from there. This is the end of the book in 1 Corinthians. You know, he said about the Corinthians, he said, not many of you are of noble character or high regard. He said, you know, you Corinthians are pretty normal people. You weren't the high status people. You weren't the college professors. You were the normal, average, blue-collar people. That's who you Corinthians were. This is what he tells the Corinthians. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. This is the end of this book. He's winding down the book of Corinthians. Therefore, everything I've said before this, all 15, 16 chapters, stand firm. Let nothing move you in God, in the things of God. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor is not in vain. Ever feel like something you work on is in vain or didn't work out? I've worked on some things that have just been colossal failures or flops or didn't work out. I was working at the oil refinery in, I think it was actually, it was still Amoco back then, in Whiting, Indiana, and we needed a big motor-operated valve. You know how a valve is, a little valve? Needed a big one, a 36-inch valve, big, huge valve. And I looked on the list, and someone else had done the procurement list. I didn't see this valve. Well, there's more than one list. I didn't know that. And I went to the people who are doing procurement. I says, I need a 36-inch MOV, motor-operated valve. I don't see it. You better get me one quick. And they found one somewhere in Texas. All this big stuff's in Texas. Everyone in Texas has one of these in their backyard. It's a $70,000 valve. And it turns out there was, they had already bought one. I didn't know this. And So now we have two of these things show up. It wasn't my money. It was BP's money. They have a lot of money, you know, so $70,000. And I'm going, $70,000. I felt terrible. I go, $70,000 out the window. And I go to the superintendent, and I go, man, I can't believe that. I just feel so bad. Did you ever make a $70,000 mistake? And he goes, yep, sure. He was trying to make me feel better. I think he was lying to me. Focus. But labor in the Lord is never in vain. That's what it says. Things you do for God, serving God, big or small, seen or unseen, recognized or not, is never in vain. That's what this says. If you serve the Lord, whether anyone notices it, He does. It's never in vain. Something you do for God, never in vain. And that's why he says, give yourselves fully. Whatever you do, you know how you do some things sometimes that are half-hearted? Do it because you're supposed to. Do it because you have to. He says, if you give yourself to this work, give your all to God, because it's never in vain. So that's to the Corinthian church. Let's look at Ephesus, the church in Ephesus. This is the end of Ephesians, near the end. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Are we supposed to be strong and courageous? Is this supposed to be part of a Christian's life? Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Are we supposed to be strong in God? If you do anything, do one thing. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Well, those are epistles. What about the Gospels? Let's look at the Gospel of John. Jesus said this in the Gospel of John. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. I'm not going to talk about the difference between the way the world does peace and courage and God does it. That'll be something for the teachers after me if they want to do this. But the way God does it, the way Jesus Christ does peace and courage is different. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Why can he say that? That's what he says. God's way. You don't need to be troubled. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to obsess about things like I know I sometimes do when I read the paper. Don't let your hearts be. The peace from God is above that. The peace from Jesus Christ is above that. 1 Corinthians 16, we're back to Corinthians. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous and strong. There it is, the church in Corinth, those average, normal, dysfunctional people. The church in Corinth had some huge issues. People were getting drunk. We're going to break bread today in our groups. Paul's criticism was, people are getting drunk at your breaking of bread groups. That's not good. You should stop that. Some people are starving. Some are getting drunk. Stop that. Right at the end of it, be courageous and strong. What about the leaders? 2 Timothy, a letter to a pastor who's starting and establishing a new church. He's trying to raise up other leaders. The Spirit that God gave us does not make us timid. The Spirit of God, if the Spirit of God is working in your life, gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Power, love, and self-discipline. Now, I was at a party this week, birthday party, and I ended up talking to a couple about the gospel. And we're sitting around, and it was a pretty interesting conversation. And one half of the couple was pretty interested in the gospel. The other half of the couple kind of checked out, you know, you get to that point, it says, you know, I've explained the gospel, and I thought, and there's people all around us, and this person said, wow, that sounds right. And I said, you know, I should ask if she's ready to receive the gospel. I should just ask that, but it's kind of weird. You know, we're all here outside, in a group, it's kind of weird, but you know, I should ask. But I don't know if I want to. I was a little nervous about doing it, but I should try. I says, you know, and I said, well, I'm going to do this. I said, you know, I'm just going to try. I said, you know, I don't mean to be too forward, but this makes sense to you. Can you think of any reason why you wouldn't want to accept the forgiveness of Jesus Christ? She said, no, I can't think of any reason. I go, well, that's a good sign. I says, I know we're outside in this group. Would you be comfortable praying right now? She said, yeah, I would. I would. I was timid. I was timid. But God's Spirit is not. God's Spirit wants His kingdom and the truth of who He is to go forward. He will help you. His Spirit will help you. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. If you're feeling afraid, if you're feeling timid, that's probably not from the Lord. The Lord can help you with that. Power, love, and self-control. Philippians. I just want the first part of this. Without being frightened. 1:28. Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a good picture of Paul's life. Paul was pretty fearless. He would go preach in the synagogues. His habit, he'd go into a town, he'd preach in the synagogues, and they would want to kill him sooner or later. They would eventually threaten him. There'd be a riot. And he would stay. No, no, let me stay. And the church leaders said, no, get out. In Thessalonica, they threw him out, said, leave. You need to leave because they're going to kill you. But he said, don't be frightened in any way. You don't need to. You don't need to. Why did God put us here? It's pretty apparent by these few verses that God wants us. God wants Christians in churches to be strong and courageous in Him. He wants that for us. Are we here to just live a life? No, we're here to represent Him. What makes us grow in courage? What makes, if I don't feel that courageous, if you don't feel that courageous or that strong, what makes you grow in courage? You need a belief that is stronger than your fear. You need a belief that's stronger than your fear. You need to be certain, a growing certainty about your ability to trust God and who He is. This is what maturity is. I can trust God. He will come through. This will not be in vain. So I want to give us just a couple examples, and we're going to continue with these over the next couple weeks, of three things we can trust God in. Three examples, just three I thought of, and there are really many more of things we can take courage in. Take courage because God is with you. God is with you. The Holy Spirit is in your life. This is something I shared with the lady at the party. I said, you know, the Holy Spirit, I asked her, I said, how do you feel now? She says, I feel better. So that's a good sign if you feel different. Because the Holy Spirit is in your life. You're connected. He's in, and wherever you go, He is with you. You know, actually, I don't like that phrase, He is with you. God is going wherever I go. I like it the other way around. I want to be going wherever God is going. That's where we want to go. We have Matthew 28. I think I got the wrong number here. Right at the end of the Great Commission, He says, surely I'm with you to the end of the age. God is with you. He's part of your life. He hasn't forgotten you. He's not unaware of your situation. He's not unaware of your struggle. Not at all. He is with you wherever you go, intimately connected with that. You can take courage. This is what He told Joshua. This is what He told Moses. When Moses told God, He says, who am I? Who am I to speak for you? He says, I will go with you. I will go with you. Take courage because Jesus has overcome the world. He said this in John 16, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. We have trouble. I just gave you a little smattering. We have trouble. We have trouble in our state. We have trouble in our country. There's trouble all over the world. We have trouble in our city. But Jesus has overcome the world. And I realized, I think of myself as an American. I think of myself as a person who's a resident of Illinois, DuPage County. But this is not my home. This is not our home. We are residents of the kingdom of God. This is not where we're going to end up living. Jesus has overcome all of these struggles and all of these difficulties. Jesus has overcome the world. We can have courage in that. You can take courage that nothing can separate you from God's love. Ever feel distant in a way from God, that He's aware, that He cares about you, or you feel alone? Nothing can separate you from God's love. Now you Gentiles have heard the truth and good news that God saves you. When you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you His Holy Spirit. He identified you as His. It says after this that you're sealed with His Holy Spirit. It's a deposit. It's a seal in our lives. You're His. That's our identity. And I think we underestimate the value of this. Actually, I want to show a little video clip that, that at least for me, displays the power of understanding that somebody loves you. This isn't spiritual at all. It's actually a story about Frank Sinatra. This story is told by Tom Dreesen. Tom Dreesen is a comedian who used to tour with Frank Sinatra. And I'm not trying to endorse Frank Sinatra's life or his lifestyle or his many wives. But as he got older, he performed for many years. And he sang and still did concerts till he was about 80 years old. Tom tells a story of this happened at a performance when Frank was 78 years old. So, Kelsey, can we pull that up? Let's see if we can do this. She need a hand? I can't hear you. Oh, is it not working? Oh, there it is.
It's quarter to three.
The first time I heard that voice, I was 8 years old. I was shining shoes in a bar on the south side of Chicago.
In the end, I was a pallbearer at his funeral.
He was like a father to me.
At age 78, we were all wondering, when is he going to lay it down? When is he going to quit? He would have hit and miss nights, but crowds loved him. They couldn't get enough of him. And they were really coming to say goodbye to him. And every city we went to, they were coming to say goodbye. And one night in the Mark Auditorium, there's like 20,000 people in the arena, and I did my show, and it was a good audience and everything. He went out. He did three songs. He was rolling. He got to the fourth song, and he totally blanked on the lyrics. And the orchestra was down in the pit. And they kept playing, not knowing that he was lost. And he started whispering into the microphone, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Now, when I saw that happen, I went, oh, this is it. We were always wondering, when is he going to lay it down? But this is the night. He's whispering to the orchestra, started to realize that he wasn't with them, and they started to wind their instruments down one at a time to an eerie silence in this huge arena. And now he's whispering, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. By that time, I was stage left, and I thought, okay, this is it. You know, he's going to come off stage, and I'm going to say, let's go home, Mr. S. It's been a great career, but it's time to go home. And he turned around, and there was dead silence, and he had tears in his eyes. And he looked like he was going to come and lay the microphone down. And the guy way up on top of the audience stood up by himself, and he hollered out, that's all right, Frank. It's all right. We love you, Frank. It's all right, because we love you. And he started to applaud. And the guy next to him started to applaud, and a couple of them, pretty soon...
I'm getting chills. Keep going.
Hundreds of people started applauding, thousands, and pretty soon the whole arena was cheering, cheering and cheering. He got to the edge of the stage, and I thought he was going to go home, and he turned around, and he went back to center stage, and they wouldn't stop cheering. And finally, they calmed down, and he went into the next number, which was Mac the Knife, and he absolutely drilled that song. He hit every nuance and every lyric. He was like he was 19 years old again. Now, when he finished that song, the people wouldn't stop cheering, and he was ready to go into the next number when he quieted him down, and he started to sing, and he stopped, and he pointed up to the guy, and he said, I love you too, pal. And he sang for 2 years after that.
Wow.
2 years. That guy doesn't know. That fan brought him from the ashes that night.
Interesting story. So Frank Sinatra, he performed all over the world. And he was an amazing performer, very gifted. He had a phenomenal stage presence. So Tom said he could create more electricity just walking out on stage. He used to watch how he would do that. But here, he messed up. He came to sing, and he forgot the lyrics. And he says, I've screwed up. And one guy he didn't even know said, it's okay. We love you. It's okay, we love you. But I messed up. You came here for this. I remember my own songs. It's okay. Because we love you. It's okay. But I've stumbled and fallen. It's okay. Because we love you. I don't know if I can do this anymore. It's okay. Because I love you. And he went on. He had the courage to sing for 2 more years. This is just a story of life. That we understand God's love for us is much more connected and intimate than that. This is what Paul said. This was the story. I'll just read Romans 8:37 here. This is what Paul said. He says, no, in these things, thank you, we are more than conquerors. In these things, we're more than conquerors. We're not just conquerors. Through him who loved us. For I'm convinced neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But God, I screwed up. God, I stumbled. God, I've been distant. It's okay. I love you. It's okay because I love you. It's okay because I died for you. That's the God you have. That's the God we have. He is so impassioned about us. We're worried about all these little things, all this stumbling, and he conquered all of it. We need to know how deep this goes so that we can be courageous. So we're secure in God's love for us. It'll help our lives so much. So why don't we pray, and we'll have the music team come forward. God, thank you that we barely understand your love for us. I barely understand your love for me and coming for us and coming for me. That you sent your Son to redeem and pay for all of our shortcomings, all of our shortfalls, all of our mistakes. That your love is bigger and grander than we can imagine. Thank you for that. Help us to be courageous in the truth. Amen.